While they're passing those out, I'm sure when you see the title that this is a sermon that you do not need. But the doors are locked. And this will be the sermon you wish you had heard before you ever had that first date. I assure you that the sermon is not aimed at anyone in particular, though all of you might apply it specifically to yourself. You are always going to be given advice to somebody by either what you say or by what you do, by what you accept or do not accept, what you believe to be right or what you believe to be wrong. I do not bring this message today lightly. Thought about it for a long time and wonder whether or not should I ever say anything about this, because nothing hits any more personal than you making a decision about who you like or love or spend time with or what you do or don't do. But a lot of times the pastor has to deal with the fallout of people who make choices that they live long enough to realize maybe it was the wrong choice. I am not speaking because at the beginning of my life, I followed all these things that we're going to talk about. I did not have a clue of right and wrong concerning dating or marriage. I had no clue about many of these things. I was not taught. I had never seen a marriage like I thought that's what I would like mine to be like. I can't refer to anybody. I've often asked that same question to others, and they have stated many times the same thing. So I want to help you by giving you some guidance. Now, I wish that everybody in here were little teenagers, but I realize that's not the case. But you wouldn't believe this, but I believe adults need to understand this just as bad as teenagers need to understand this. So we're going to dive into this, and I hope that you will stick with me the whole time. And I was thinking whether or not after the service is over, whether I should stand at the door or just stay here. We did have the deacons and the ushers have already guaranteed to me that nobody brought any fruit in here with them to throw. So I want to start off with the very first statement here, why dating is dangerous. Why dating is dangerous, though everybody does it, pretty much. Or everybody wants to be dated. Or everybody wants to date somebody. You see, whenever we are growing up as children, parents, you know, give us love. So we're given love, and we got this glass over here, and they keep trying to fill it up. But the only thing is about love is you also want to give love. But we don't want to give it back just to mommy and daddy, because that means we have to. Love's supposed to be because we want to. So what we do is we begin to get a little bit older, and we want to find somebody we can take this love that we got here and give it to somebody. And so boy looks for girl and girl looks for boy. Nowadays, the boy looks for boy and girl looks for girl, but we ain't going there today. So you got this little glass of water and you're looking for somebody to give it to. So you, girl sees boy, woo, boy, woo. And they give up all their love. Well, the boy doesn't know how to give love, and so he just, woo. And some of it just splashes here and there, and now they're empty. And so they spend a lot of time trying to manufacture something that's not real. But they want to because there's, you know, I like you and you like me, sign below. But you've got to have enough time to put some more back in. And if you'll let the Lord love you and give you love, then it's just a matter of you sharing that love. And he keeps loving, and you can keep giving. But you see, when you don't have enough love, you run out of it, and, well, I don't love him anymore. The love is temporary. So now you wait a little while, after you break up. Then get a little bit more love. Now you're looking for somebody else. There's one. Woo! And it goes again. And they keep going through this process, hoping someday they'll find out how to give and to receive. You see, God is love. And God offers us His love. And we are supposed to learn how to share that love and give love back. Well, sometimes people never learn how to give or how to receive. So anyway, I want you to look at the text. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, not somebody else's, and let every woman have her own husband. I didn't write that up. That's not in Yankeeology 2:1. That's in the Bible. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So what I did is I wrote a little thing down here. But what does that mean? You have children. Now what are we supposed to do with these kids? Well, the word nurture bears the sterner meaning and refers to the discipline which comes through correction. Admonition suggests counsel, advice, reproof, exhortation, and all the intellectual and moral influences whereby a young soul may be trained for the Lord's work. While it is wonderful how the fatherly and motherly influences blend in Christ, the tenderest nurture, the firmest correction, the sternest chastisement in which no child can ever miss the love, was to teach them to comprehend the meaning and bearing of the great spiritual truth which the gospel brought into the world. Now, that sounds good. Now, how to apply all of that? Because we're supposed to teach children how to love. And there comes a time in the life where there is a natural breaking away process from the authority of mom and dad, so that they can become an authority over their own home. And so when people get married, they leave mother and father, and they're to cleave to each other, and they become a separate unit. So we're supposed to teach all of that. And most of us never learned some of these things until we learned on-the-job training. It'd been great if we could learn all these things together at the right time before we have to start making all these multitude of decisions. Now, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, and look in verse 1. In verse 1, we'll cover this as quickly as we possibly can, but this is a little story about a man named Joseph, but there are some principles in this story that would be good for all of us to remember. Now, remember, he was just a young man. When his brothers turned against him, and they sold him, they were going to kill him, but they sold him. And next thing you know, he's down there in Egypt. He hadn't done anything wrong. He knew the Lord. He loved the Lord. He loved his parents. But everything went against him. The Lord gave him visions by which he was able to tell those visions that he had, the dreams that he had. And they people turned against him. And he was a good, honorable young man. But anyway, he was taken to another country. And it says here in verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. See, God was still blessing Joseph. You know, he's an individual, and others had wronged him, and you'd be surprised at the providence of God, how God can move and work in a person's life. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put it into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. Uh-oh. And she said, lie with me. Now, for y'all that may not understand what that means, it means that she wanted to have sex with him. Now you understand. I would hate to cover all of this, and you have no clue what I'm talking about because of your pure, innocent mind. Verse 8. But he refused. But he did what? He refused. Now, today, that would probably not happen. When they're approached today, they jump right in bed together. And danger is done. But anyway, but he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master, what if not? What is with me in the house? And he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Because that's exactly what it is. Always remember, this is what it is. And it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men in the house there with him. She caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand, and he fled and got him out. In other words, he grabbed his coat and ran. Got out of there. Now, this is what a person should do. Just because there's an opportunity doesn't mean take advantage of it. People need to read the stories in the Bible. They're real stories about real people and real incidents and consequences. There are consequences. But anyway, it's not over there. It says in verse 13, And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house, spake unto them, saying, See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until the Lord came home. Oh, well, the boss is coming home now. Now, is she telling the truth?
No.
Are you trying to tell me that a woman can literally, really lie?
Yeah.
I thought all women told the truth. I think there's a lot of people in Washington need to read the Bible, too.
Yeah, I agree.
But anyway, we're moving right along, lest I get sidetracked. Anyway, we don't want that to happen. So he says here in verse 17, And she spake unto him according to these words, and the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him, put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph, showed him mercy, and gave him favor inside of the keeper of the prison. It's not over yet. It went until, lo and behold, he went from the pit that he was placed into the prison, and then into the palace. And God was with this honorable man, and God blessed him in spite of all the things that happened. But notice, the thing that Joseph did was he did not yield to the temptation. There's a good principle there. And God knows what's going on behind the scene. And God lifted him up, and God honored him. And the whole nation of Israel brought down there and grew until Moses led them out. Now, look at the warning that we have down at the bottom of that. Right in the middle of their page, warning. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her. It's to defile yourself. It's to ruin yourself. It's not good. It's not healthy. I don't care how many women beg you to have sex with them. Don't you do it. It's still wrong. I don't care how pretty she is. I don't care about her figure. I don't care what she's willing to do. It doesn't matter. It's still a sinful, wicked thing. If you can't control yourself, get your own wife or get your own husband. And you leave the other ones alone. I hope that my weak convictions are leaking out and you're understanding what I'm saying. Anyway, the next statement, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination. And so far, I have not seen where God has changed his mind. He has not changed his word. And God's word is settled forever in heaven. So this truth, this principle is forever settled. It's wrong for men with men and women with women. Now, we're moving right along. You say, what's all this got to do with dating? I'm glad you asked. I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy in chapter 22. Because where something happens is also important, because where something happens can make a difference in the consequences. And you'll notice there, this is in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22, page 24, and look in verse 22. Chapter 22 and verse 22. And we're going to read, and I want you to notice a few things here. Verse 22, if a man is found lying with a woman married to a husband, then they shall both of them die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. Is it wrong and wicked for a man to take another man's wife? Yes, it is. Don't debate it. Don't try to philosophize it away. Just go by the book. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto a husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then shall you bring both unto the gate of the city, and you shall stone them with stone that they die. The damsel, because she cried not, being in the city. In other words, where she was, she could have maybe said or done something. This is why, women, you're not supposed to just run the risk in being by yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong kind of people. You say, well, they ought not do that. You cannot. And women, you don't understand men if you don't get this. You don't take a steak and run it in front of a Rottweiler and say, now, look, smell, but you can't have it. You're naive if you believe, well, that dog ought not want to eat that meat. Then you don't understand the sinful nature of man. You don't understand the devil. You don't understand how great of a temptation that is. That's why women are not supposed to dress in such a way and lure a man, because man has it with him just like a mouse in our cheese. You know, you put that cheese in that trap. Why? Because there's something inside of that rat, that mouth that loves cheese. There's something inside of a man that loves sex. It's called a sex drive. It's called his nature. There's nothing wrong with it. In the right place, it's a wonderful thing. We can have a wonderful life. Fire is also wonderful if it's in the fireplace, but you put it in the roof and a ceiling, it's going to burn a whole house down. And sex is great in marriage. Outside of marriage, it's not to be. You can go to 100 churches and most preachers will not talk to you and tell you what I'm telling you. But I don't pull no punches, and I don't kid you. I got my loyalty to this book and to teach all the counsel of God and tell you this is where God stands. You can either believe it or not believe it. It won't be no hair off. I should say no. Let's get off my nose. When Betty was marrying me, I had 3 hairs on my chest. And she says, you only got 3? I says, that's all I got for now. I says, hair don't grow on steel. That suffice for a while. But now notice something in verse 45. But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her, lie with her, we call that rape, then the man only that lay with her shall die because of where she was. Now there's other things that go on down here and says a few things, and I don't want you to read that while I'm talking, okay? Now go back there to your notes. Right under the verses that we just read, dating between the young and the old is one of the quickest ways of being deceived and conforming to the ways of the world. More people have lost their virginity because of dating incorrectly and not understanding the values, the dangers, and the advantages of dating and what it can do. The next statement. Although many Christian parents may not agree with the following points, they should be carefully and prayerfully considered. Please note. These notes, these following points does not mean that these consequences were initially and purposely planned by either person to harm or dishonor the person they date. Many fail to understand the power of their sinful nature and the zeal of the devil to destroy their lives with heartache and disappointment. There's a lot of things that people are just plain ignorant about, or they don't think about it, or just consider the consequences down the road. And they should be very careful. Look at number 1. Remember, this is not just some little points for these teenagers that want to date. And you'll find out a lot of times they want to know, well, how old do you have to be to date? Have your teenagers ever asked you that? Yeah. Or why can't I date? And parents, and then you got to answer some kid because they, well, everybody does it. There's nothing wrong. You don't trust me. You ever heard that? Mm-hmm. You just don't trust me. Well, la-dee-da. I wonder why. Because anybody in their right mind knows that you cannot trust that sinful nature that you have. You can't trust that sinful nature. It's like a rattlesnake living inside of you. There's a sermon I did on Amalek. You need to get a copy of it. Number one, teens are not spiritually, emotionally, and physically prepared to experiment with the opposite sex and isolation from other people. They don't know how to handle this. Well, I can handle it. No, you can't handle it. And no, you don't have the wisdom that you need. Because you see, there's a danger in boy and girl getting alone outside of the eyes of other people and spending too much time together. Now, I'm not asking if teenagers or even if adults, if you agree with me. I really don't care if you agree with me or not. It's still the truth. You ought not trust your own sinful nature. And most teenagers have not learned how to control their emotions and their sex drives. They can't sometimes even, have you ever seen some teenage boy growing faster than his mind? And he becomes clumsy. He hasn't learned how to control that old body of his. And sometimes they say that women, the girls, that they mature faster than the guys. And there's all kinds of emotions that runs wild. And this one girl says, boys are all alike. The other girl says, boys are all alike too. And you might understand what I'm saying here. This, well, I better let that go. I'm thinking of consequences down the road. Look at number two. Dating may set the pattern for divorce by literally practicing going in and out of relationships. In other words, you date this girl or this boy and you spend time together and maybe you blow the emotional fuse and lo and behold, you cannot control your emotions and you do something you shouldn't do. Well, once a boy is conquered, many times they have a tendency to want to move on. But now listen, not all the time, nothing the same on everybody, all the time. But whenever you go with this one for a while and I love you only, while they're looking for another. All boys and all girls, they're always looking. In case, you know, it's like going fishing. And you don't know whether to keep this one because it's so small. Do I keep it or throw it back and hope I get a bigger one later? And then sometimes you throw them back and you think, well, I'll never find anything better. Well, that fish is gone. And so it's amazing how you don't use good judgment. And you can't discern whether or not is that guy good or bad. And is that girl good or bad. You say, well, they got to spend time together. There's a better way. We'll get to that in a minute. Look at number three. Dating is the perfect setting for tempting teens to participate in physical intermittency and provide ample opportunities for sex outside of marriage. Intimacy is supposed to be that word. Jesus told Satan, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Neither should we tempt one another, nor should we yield to temptation. Everybody is tempted, but no man is tempted to sin by God. God doesn't tempt any man. So there is a temptation of going too far, of doing things that you probably should not do. And I tell the teenagers, I tell the college kids, and I've been doing that for 50-something years. You cannot take your bodies and put them together and just start smooching. And then it leads to petting and then heavy petting and running your arms all over the place. I said, because once you start, you'll not be able to quit. How far do you go? Where is the limit? Where's your boundary? What are your standards? And then next thing you know, you'll be committing some sin you should not commit. It won't be that that's how you planned it. It's just there's somebody else that knows how to lead and guide. And I hope that these will make some sense, because some of you may have some kids coming up. Some of you may have teenagers now. Some of you may have some grandkids now. And what I'm talking to you about now also applies to married or unmarried women and unmarried men. You run the exact same danger as individual teenagers. There is no difference. And you're just as susceptible to messing up your life as those young people will be. Look at the next point. So see, whenever you practice, you know, dating this one, I don't like that one, I'll get another one. Then you don't like that, well, I can get another one. And so when people get married, and marriage is supposed to be for how long? Now, see, you say that. And when you get married, until death do us part, you ever heard that done in North? Yeah, that means until you don't like him anymore. That means until you get to divorce court. That doesn't really mean forever. It just means until I want to quit this one and I want to get free and I've had enough of it and I want to get another one, because I'll really mean it the next time. Okay. I see the damage it's done with marriage, divorce, remarriage, and remarriage, and remarriage, and remarriage. There is a danger. And people have their views on all of these things, but they don't have a godly view of what God actually says about it. Because most people, and you know it, are going to do what they really want to do. If you want to date, you'll date. You want to date the wrong kid, people, you can do that. And if you want to have sex, you will. You'll do whatever you really want to do. So none of this is of any value to the person who doesn't want God's will for his life. If you want God's will for your life, everything I say is important. But if it doesn't, you can just sit there and, you know, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that, I don't agree with that, because you're not going to do it anyway. I'm old enough to know that. But if you want to serve God and honor God, you better take that boy or that girl and you better treat them with honor and respect. If you don't, you're not honoring God. And you don't honor that person. And you don't really love the person that you shame or bring pain or shame into their life. You don't do that. Look at number four. Dating builds emotional bonds that bring crushing psychological hurt to the injured party when the dating ceases. Every date must eventually lead to marriage, breakup, living together, or dead ends. And when you're not able to handle that, have you ever seen a boy and a girl that she's just so in love with him? And he said, I'm in love with you. And then next thing you know, he's found somebody else, and he's got to break her heart. Well, he's not married. He's free. He can still do what he wants to, but he breaks her heart. You ever seen somebody who's been brokenhearted because he don't love me anymore? They can get so depressed and so discouraged, they can think suicidal thoughts. I mean, it can devastate a person. They're not emotionally ready to handle the breakups. And sometimes she will do that, and he's got to go through it. And then the next night they do it again. And then they repeat it. So when they get married, how did they solve their problem the last time? They split up and found somebody else. That's the best way for marriages to break up, because I've already been trained. And that's not the way to do it. But anyway, page two. The teenage boy does not bond with the girl in the same way the girl bonds with the boy. More often than not, the boy is ready to move on when he is able to become intimate with the girl. The girl is more prone to bond with the boy and therefore allow, I don't know why I got this word in here, intimacy, to seal the bond and save the relationship. She's willing to give to the boy what he wants in order to try to keep the boy. Remember this, girls. Boys, every girl got the same bait. If she can catch you with sex, she can catch somebody else with the same bait. Have you noticed that there's always a system to this on how they catch? And whenever you watch it long enough and you have to deal with a problem situation, they wind up losing control. So I wrote this little statement in here, if you look at it here. The girl is more prone to bond with the boy and therefore allow intimacy to seal the bond and save the relationship, not realizing that the boy is simply allowing his natural drive to be fulfilled and the girl will pay the price for the rest of her life. It's not the boy that gets pregnant. Did you realize the abortion mills, they love teenage dating. And they love to provide for them whatever they need to supplement whatever they might need, because they don't mind these girls getting pregnant. Because they're going to want to have an abortion and they're going to get money from it. Money and the love of money is a greed that can destroy. And buddy, it's done it to our country. But now, I put in the middle here the little word remember. I got three remembers here. But this first remember, the boy will usually give love to get sex, and the girl will give sex in order to get love. I've watched it long enough to know that is true. But they don't know that's what it is. It's lust. And they don't know the difference between love and lust. Love means I want to protect you and care for you. It's all about you. But when it's lust, it's what I can get to satisfy my own sexual drives. Because if you love the person more than you lust after the person, you want to protect that person. But when you don't want to protect that person, you don't mind bringing them shame and blame and the pain of what they got to go through. But anyway, we're moving right along. Has anybody gone to sleep yet? Stick with me. Don't go to sleep now. Number six, dating produces much stress, which teens are spiritually and psychologically unprepared to deal with. It produces a lot of stress. Now, look at the next point. Dating generally removes the girl from the cover or protection of the father, transfer her to the cover of the boyfriend, and sets in motion potential harm for the girl. In other words, look up here. Here's daddy. Daddy's got this umbrella. And this umbrella doesn't have any holes in it. So when it rains, see, he can protect himself, his wife, and his kids. He's protecting his family. This umbrella, that's his wisdom. And so daddy has wisdom to make right decisions for that which he loves and cares for. Here's little Sue. She wants to go over there with boy. Well, she has to leave this umbrella of protection and wants to get under his umbrella. And she goes over there and look at his umbrella. He got holes all over the place. So when it rains all over him. Why? Because his umbrella's got holes in it. So when she goes over there and it rains, it's going to rain on her too. Because the boy is not wise enough, smart enough, disciplined enough, spiritual enough to protect himself. He can't protect the girl either. So daddy, that man doesn't have wisdom. That man is not a godly man. That man's not making wise decisions for himself. That man over there cannot love you and protect you the way that I can. So whenever you find that guy over there and he's got all that wisdom and he's doing it for himself, then daddy may say, "Hun, I can't wait to give you to that man in marriage. And I'm going to walk down that aisle with you. And I want to, who giveth this woman to be married to this man?" And daddy says proudly, "I do, her mother and I. We want to give." But whenever you just take somebody that doesn't belong to you and you rip them out of somebody else's family and you break somebody else's heart, you break parents' heart. Listen, I did that. Her mom and dad, Betty's mom and dad, never had the chance to give her to me because I stole her away. And I ran off to Anderson, South Carolina, and we got married. And her dad came looking for me with a gun. And it was to part my soul in eternity. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about, because I do. And years later, 58 years later, that still bothers me. I wish I'd have had the patience and done everything right. But I was ignorant of God and ignorant of God's will. I didn't know the Bible and had no principles laid down. Look at the next point. Number eight, dating also provides ample opportunity for a constant tug of war between parents and teens. dividing loyalties and separating teens from their godly authority. Excessive rebellion is exhibited when they insist upon who they date, when they date, how they date, and time to come back home if they do. Doesn't boy and girl dating and all the decisions is determined by the kids? Do you actually think they're smart enough and wise enough to always make the right decision and choose the right one? They're mature enough to do that yet? You see, when children, kids, those teens are not raised in a church and they don't even know the Lord, they don't love the Lord, do you think they're going to make wise decisions for their life? This is why we're supposed to teach them while they're young the nurture and the admonition of the Lord and lead them and to guide them. We have lost so much in our country, and this is why our country is going downhill. Because we've got a bunch of kids today, and sex is prevalent in most teenagers' lives. And you know it, and so do I. And it's ruining our country. And one day, they're going to be the ones making decisions without character, without understanding biblical principles. And everything that the family needs to stay together and to stay strong is going to be lost. We're going to lose it. Look at number 9. Dating often leaves emotional scars that often are carried into the next relationship or on into marriage because you're not wise. Did you know that one of the destructive things that ever happened in America is when the automobile came along and the back seat came with it? If I have to explain that, it's over your head. Number 10, dating is the primary source of sexually transmitted diseases from one person to another. Number 11, the abortion clinic loves to see young people date because they know that a large percentage of abortions come from teen girls who play the dating game. Because of the sin, and now the pregnancy that's not wanted, and because the boy doesn't want to become the father or the husband, now the go get an abortion. Now, another sin to cover a sin. Abortion is wrong. Abortion is murder. I won't soften it. I'm not going to play games with anybody. It is murder. You're taking a life. And God says he's the one that gave life. Study the book of Job. He's the one that granted the right to life. And then it doesn't matter because most of the time, if a girl will do it with this guy and they don't get married, now she's got to go to another. And then another, and then another. How, where does it end? It doesn't stop. Listen to me. When I just heard recently, but we don't know whether all of it's true news or fake news, about Kavanaugh is supposed to have gone to some party, and everybody was drinking, and girls were there, and she was 15 years old, or 16 years old. What was she doing at a party like that? And if he was there, what was he doing in a place like that? Decent girls don't go there and decent boys don't go there. And that's why you're going to have a lot of problems. What do you expect to happen? Anyway, we'll move right along. The word remember, the second word remember. You got it in the middle of your page? Young people should get to know each other by spending quality time in the presence of each other's family or groups of friends. You can come to church and go out to eat and think you don't have to get along in a car and park in some alley behind some tree or some bush or some apartment building down some. No, you don't have to do that. You can always do things that are right and decent and never do anything that would cause somebody to question your testimony. Girls ought to have a high standard and not lower them at all. If you can't get a decent man to treat you right, then don't get one. It's better to be lonely and single than married and miserable. Mm-hmm. They do not need to isolate themselves and be alone to get to know each other. The road to promiscuity is paved with the practice of dating. Just do a lot of it. And if that guy don't work out, well, I can get another guy. And that don't work out. They do the same thing in marriage. How does it work? Have you ever noticed the Hollywood stars? If fame and popularity and money was the answer, then why aren't they all living good, wonderful, happy lives? Well, that's not where it is. If a person doesn't fall in love with the Lord and wants God's will for the life, nothing else matters. Do whatever you want to do. Because most people will do just that. What I'm saying is only for the person who loves the Lord. If you don't love God, you're not going to love her right. You're not going to love yourself right. You're not going to love the guy right. You're not going to love right. Because only the Lord can heal. Only the Lord can help you to understand. The Lord can help you to be faithful. The Lord can help you to be godly. God's word says, keep thyself pure. You can't go back. But you can always start from this moment on and be a godly person, a godly couple, always honoring the Lord. You ought not do anything with that girl that would cause somebody to think ill of her. Never. Always respect that girl and keep that girl on high. And the girl should do the same thing for the guy. But let me tell you this. Going on 59 years of marriage, nobody's ever heard me criticize my wife. I've been here 9 years. But you hear me brag about my wife and talk about my wife and my good wife. And I never blame my wife. I'm the head of my family. I'm in charge. And she's followed me everywhere. If anything went wrong, I did it. Because I did it. It was my fault. Everything was always my fault. I'm the head of my home. If you're head of your home, be the head of your home. If you're the man, be the man. Most women will follow her husband if he's a man. But if you're a wimp, why should she? If you won't obey God, why should she obey you? It won't work that way. Put your foot down and says, I'm in charge of this home. I love you, and this is what we're going to do. And it breaks my heart, but I see a lot of men staying home sometime, and the women go to church. And then sometime I see it just the opposite. Why can't they come as a couple? Why can't they come as a husband and a wife? Don't they understand that we need the Lord? We need the Lord to help us to do right. We have sinful natures, and we do things wrong. Now look down at the next statement. Remember, unmarried adults run the same risk. Always keep your testimony above reproach. Guard against being alone with the opposite sex or to be placed in a tempting situation. Keep yourself guarded. Watch yourself. Guard your testimony at all times. Number one, look for someone who has the same common background. There's a value system. Do they have the same values they have? What about raising kids? Guys, says, I don't want any kids. And she said, well, I want 10. Are they going to have problems? Yeah. Well, I'm Catholic. Well, what are you? I'm a Mormon. Are they going to have problems? Yeah. Well, that's not important. We just love each other. That ain't going to last long, bud. That's why we put transmissions in a motor. There's a motor, and there's wheels back here. Somehow or other, you got to have a transmission, a drive shaft, so that you can adjust. It's kind of like some people are like a racehorse and a donkey. And you don't yoke those two together because you've got troubles. A racehorse wants to do what? Go! And here you got this jackass. And he don't want to go. And can you believe it? They get married. They get married. Opposites attract, then attack. If they're different. They're so different. Yes. And then. Well, he's so slow. He never gets anything done. And there's that racehorse. Many a man has married a racehorse. And you just always irritating each other. But it can also be bad when you've got two jackasses together. Sometimes they get married. You see, she conned him and he conned her. Because they can't live without each other and they can't live with each other. That's what conning does. Look for someone you're attracted to. She's got to be attractive. Otherwise, you just marry a singer. Wake up, honey. Sing! Sing! You got it. They have to have some physical attraction, and there's nothing wrong with that. But that physical attraction is not all there is to it. You may fall in love with that little dimple she has. Oh, got that devil in there. You marry him, buddy, you get the whole thing. Look for someone who has high moral standards, that has divine guidance, that looks to the Lord, knows the Lord, and loves the Lord, and is walking with God. Don't you marry an ungodly person. They're not like God. Don't marry them. And don't listen to a guy promising you the moon. If he's not faithful now, chances are he won't be faithful later. You give person time and you see what they're doing with their life. Do they really love the Lord? Did they really honor the Lord? If that man will take advantage of you, lady, he's not honorable. He ought to respect you, not take advantage of you. And you watch this smooth talk. Well, we love each other. It's okay. We're going to get married anyway. Boy, have you ever heard that one? Well, because we love. And now you got to have sex just to prove you love each other. That is not proof. Waiting is the proof. But we're moving right along. Look for somebody your parents should approve. First time I asked Betty's mom and dad, can I marry your daughter? And you know what they said? No. And you know what I said? Why? And you know what they said? It says, you don't have a job, you don't have any money, you don't have a place to live. And their mother says, and you're a bum. She used the word hoodlum, but nobody knows what that is anymore. And they were right on everything they said. It's like handing a Stradivarius over to a gorilla. They did not approve of me. And then after I married her, he had mercy on me and led me to Christ. And said the best hope for her is for Yankee to get saved. And that changed my whole life. So I'm not telling you because I'm a perfect example of everything. I'm a dirty, lousy, stinking, rotten sinner and I ought to go to hell. But I'll go to heaven because somebody loved me. The Lord loved me. My father-in-law loved me. My mother-in-law, I'm still not sure. Well, she's in heaven now, so she might like me a little bit. Look at the next statement. Be careful of the date that wants to get to know you better by being alone or in the dark. And don't ask me why. You can't figure it out. You're not old enough to date. You're not mature enough to date. You question everything that I say on here. You don't belong in the dating box and you don't belong in marriage. Because you're not wise enough. You can't figure this out. Did you know that most of the adults down the road that have problems in their marriage is because of how they dated? They're so wild oats while they're young, and then when they get old, they pray for a crop failure. And everything comes to blossom, and everything comes back home to roost. And all those bad decisions. Discerning the right pattern. Look at number one down at the bottom. Is she a Christian? Do they know the Lord? And not only do they love the Lord? Are they growing in the Lord? Are they faithfully going to the right places? See, you don't find the right person in the wrong place. So they want to go to the right place. What is my goal? What's God's purpose for my life? I want to marry that person who's going to help me do God's will for my life. Do you know why I can do what I do today? Because I got a wife who wants to help me do what I believe God's purpose is for my life. She doesn't have her own career. I got my career, she's got her. No, her career is whatever her husband wants to be. She wants to help me be a success. And when I'm a success, she is a success. And that way will work better than any other way will work. You say, well, we don't have to do it that way. We don't have to. Yeah. Talking about a class the other day about a woman preacher. A woman preacher. Can they do it? Yeah, they can do it. A dog can walk on his back legs, but it sure don't look good. It wasn't designed for that. Self-control, I will not defraud the one I date. Look at this. To not produce shame, pain, or blame. Do things right. Harmony at home. Proper timing. Can I wait until God says, listen, I used to tell the college girls this, and I tell the college men this. Don't you try to build that guy you want to marry. And don't you try to build that girl you want to marry. Let God build him, and let God build her. And then when you're ready, you'll be able to find each other because of your discernment. Water seeks its own level. But if you can't discern that sea, you're not going to be high standards. You're going to have low standards. And if you don't know where you're going, any road will do. And if you don't have any standards, any boy will do and any girl will do. And that doesn't matter if you're old or if you're young. You'd be surprised what older women do just because they want sex when they get older. You say, you're talking too plain. Not plain enough. You'll hear more about this stuff on the evening news. The last thing down here, I yield my rights to date or to marry to the will of God. Isn't that what you want more than anything? I want God's will for my life. You have desires. We all have desires. But can you control those desires and want God's will? And listen, if as we step into the very first verse, and ye fathers, provoke not your children, bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And never to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and her husband. No, God doesn't make you get married. There's no law in the Bible that says, thou must marry. No, it's not in there. It's your choice. So if you don't have to marry, you don't have to date. You can come to a place, you'll find a lot about a person sitting in church here too. By their faithfulness. By their involvement. And when you go out to eat with somebody and their family's on, you get a chance to watch, because when you get married, you don't just marry that person, you're marrying their whole family. You're marrying a whole family. A whole family. And that ought to wake you up a little bit. Listen to me. Do you believe I really care about you? This has not been pleasant for me today. But I believe you need every word of it. I'm gonna say who shakes my hand whenever it's over with. I want that camera turned around the other way for me. Look up here. This is you and me. The wall represents sin. Now, we all have sin on us. God, He loves us. Now, He hates our sin, but He loves us. And God says, because of sin, we all have to die. Because the wages of sin is death. And since we've all sinned, we're all condemned to a literal fire burning hell. But God loves us, wants us to go to heaven. And to go to heaven, we have to be perfect, as righteous as God. But none of us are. And because we've all sinned, none of our good works will ever take away sin. It doesn't matter how many good works you do, it can never take away one sin. So we cannot save ourselves. This hymn represents Jesus Christ. He's the Lord God in the flesh. He came into this world. Why? Because He loves us. He hates our sin. Because of what sin does to us. We've seen what sin does in our government. What sin does in our home. What sin does to the church. What sin does to the individual. It's destructive. And you have to have the power of the Holy Spirit living within you to overcome this old sinful nature that we have. Jesus Christ. This hand represents Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He came into the world because He loves us, hates our sin because our sin separates us from Him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, didn't have to die. So He took all of our sins, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And said, if you and I, if we would believe He did it for us, He would put this payment to our account. We would go to heaven on what Christ did for us. And God says, when you believe it, you can know that you have eternal life. Know that you're going to heaven when you die. None of us are perfect. Nobody. And I've not insinuated that I am. But if I'm going to teach the Bible, I have to commit myself to teaching what it does say. Not what I'd like for it to say. Not what you want to hear. The Bible says in the last days, people will come together. Yes, they will. Because they want to have their ears tickled. They want to hear some preacher to make everybody feel good. If you're not right with the Lord, I hope I make you feel so miserable. I hope you get hiccups for the rest of the day. But if you're right with the Lord, it shouldn't bother you, should it? But it might give you a few things to help that teenager, boy or girl, or that grandkid. Or you might be sitting here saying, boy, I needed that today. Let's pray, shall we? With heads bowed and eyes closed and no one looking around, if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, would you trust Him right now? I can't read minds. I'm just a man. I'm a saved man. But I don't know the decisions that goes on in your mind. But if you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, I have no way of knowing unless you tell me. So I'm going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. But that's just to let me know that this morning you trusted Christ as your Savior. You believe that when Christ died, He died on the cross, paid for your sins. If you've never done it before, and you'll do it right now, would you just let me know by slipping your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Anywhere at all. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you're God's child. Have high standards. Do right. Don't trust that old sinful nature of yours. Guard your testimony at all times. Do right. Do right. Protect yourself. Protect others that you say you love and care about. Father, we thank You so much for all You've done for us, for this time together, and help us to live our Christian lives above reproach. And Father, concerning our government, our country, we pray Your will to be done. Guard and protect. There's many of these men in Washington who are trying to make wise decisions, and they find themselves sometimes not knowing which way to go or how to do it. And I pray that Your will would be done and this country would be blessed. Thank You for each person here. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.